This morning's scripture before the sermon is Mark chapter 7, verses 15 through 19. Mark chapter 7, verses 15 through 19. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods." Mark chapter 7, verses 15 through 19.
Good morning. It is good to see you here this morning. We are thrilled at your presence and the privilege that our Lord has blessed us with to be here together. Have your Bibles and you're there in Mark chapter 7. That'll be wonderful. We'll be there momentarily. Our title of our sermon this morning is From Within. That's the expression our Lord uses within the text, and we want to investigate that. To say the very least, our country is dealing with many things at this time, not the least of which is some of our citizens are hurting, even killing other citizens. Wake up every morning just about, and it seems like some new tragedy has happened. Many of these things are absolutely heinous and boggle the mind for how they could happen. We certainly deal with threats without, but you don't necessarily anticipate waking up within and having some of these things happening. Just in the last month or so, I may be a little longer, but not much, strangers at a concert, shootings in churches, a truck being used to run down people on a sidewalk, and it seems just on and on and on it goes. Again, the things are so heinous that they strike your mind, you wonder, how did this happen? And then you turn on your television and people start explaining how it happens. And typically, the explanations never really approach the problem. You listen to some of the things that people say, things like, guns are the problem. That's the problem. Other people say, no, America is the problem. Our place in the world and what we've done in our past, that's the problem. Somebody else says, no, it's poverty. That's the real problem here, it's poverty. Somebody else adds, the disenfranchised. People are feeling disenfranchised and they're lashing out. And I suppose if you took each one of these in isolation, to be sure, they could very well be problems. Not suggesting to you that they're not. But none of those explanations or any others that are typically given do anything to address the reason that things are happening the way they are and the reason we are witnessing them seemingly almost every day. In all things that pertain to human behavior, in all things that pertain to life and godliness, the best place to look is the scripture. And when you turn to the scripture for answers, you will find Jesus. And when you find Jesus, you will find our Lord addressing the cause, explaining why it happens, and offering a solution. This morning, we do just that very thing. We go to the scripture, we listen to our Lord, and we investigate what he says. Have your Bibles there in Mark chapter 7. Let's do just that. We have for us read verse 15 down to verse 19. We'll get there, but let's go backward to investigate how we got there. When you open up this chapter, the Bible says, "Then came together with him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, often they eat not, holding the traditions of the elders. When they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. Many other things, the Bible says, there be for which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables." And so the Pharisees then ask him, Scribes ask him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? It's interesting. If you ask Jesus a question, chances are very good you will get scripture. Our Lord answered, verse number 6, and said, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you. You hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He goes on to explain, they lay aside God's law, and they hold rather to do their own traditions. Verse number 9, he says, for ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep the traditions of your elders and that you have written. Moses says, honor your father and mother. They don't do that. They figure out a way to get around the honoring of the mother and father by keeping the goods that would otherwise be given to them, saying it's a gift to the temple and ultimately splitting it maybe with the priests. Jesus says in verse number 13, they make the word of God of no effect, that they might keep their own traditions. Our discussion centers on what our Lord begins to say next. Now, I realize that where we started and what we just read doesn't sound like the same discussion. I can appreciate that. You remember the title is From Within. Jesus says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. After our Lord's teaching, the disciples had questions. What is it then that defiles a person? If a person is doing these things, what is it? What brings about this defilement? Jesus explains, verse number 14 through 16. When he had called the people, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. You know, that's typically what we do, though. Just as soon as something happens in our world, somebody does something, we start looking for causes. What is it that made that person do that? What is it that was going on in their lives that made them do and respond in that way? Jesus says, nothing from without can defile the man, but those things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus says, not that which goes in, it's that which comes out. But even that didn't exactly solve the issue. The apostles had more questions, and so he gives an explanation. And that's really what we had read in verse number 17. When he was entered into the house and people, the disciples asked him concerning this parable. What does that even mean? You're talking about taking in stuff and eating it and then you're purging it. What does that even mean? Unwashing hands, not from within, from without. Jesus explains. Are you so without understanding? Do you not perceive? Whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him. Why not? It doesn't enter his heart. It enters into his physical body, and as a result, the natural processes of his body takes place. And so it goes into his belly, not into his heart, into his belly. And as a result of that, it's purged. There's a difference between the belly and the heart. One is physical and is purged. The other is spiritual. Flows from the heart. Why are people doing these things? It's guns. Really? It's America. It's everything without. No. Our Lord would patently disagree with all those answers. Our Lord would say, no, it's from within. That is the Lord's point. And friends, the truth of the matter is, until that point is addressed, I fear you and I will continue to wake up. And we will continue to turn on the news. And it will continue to be bad news. Until and at last, this point is addressed. In the meantime, I suppose we can keep fighting about things that are without. What is the Lord's point? He concludes, Mark chapter 7, verse 20, beginning. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That is our Lord's position, and friends, may I suggest that become your new position. If you have believed something else is the cause, I would encourage you, please agree with Jesus. I know one who is always right. Jesus. I know turning on my television probably will get me not a whole lot of right, especially if that disagrees with Jesus. I'd encourage you to side with Jesus. Let's make some application then, friends. Given the things that we've discussed so far, trusting you've understood what is said, let's make some application. Our Lord does. Point number one would be this. Since we are defiled from within, we have to guard our hearts. The Bible is constant in teaching this. It's just constant. You see, God knows that our actions and thoughts, our words, our deeds emanate from within. The question then begins, the heart then, and what is in yours from within? The thing that the scripture would urge in light of that is guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 actually uses the expression. The King James says keep. Other renderings will say guard. Keep your heart with all diligence. And then the proverb writer gives an explanation. For out of it flows the issues of life. He's saying the same thing Jesus did. What's in your heart is going to come out of your heart. We'll say the same in about 10 minutes. But that's exactly what the scriptures say. And so it says, guard your hearts. I was growing up, they used to say a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Still think that's true. But it's also a terrible thing to neglect. You can't afford to be willy-nilly with your mind. You can't afford to allow everybody to have access to your heart. You can't afford to allow anybody and everybody to tell you what you should think and believe. You can't afford to do that. In fact, you should offer some resistance and some scrutiny and some very real checks and balances to see if that should be even allowed into my heart. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus would say, be careful what ye hear. We used to sing that to little children. Y'all still sing that? Jesus also says this, Luke 8:18, take heed how ye hear. Take heed how you hear. Be careful what you hear. Guard your heart. That's the Bible's position. Question might be this, what are you allowing into yours? We might make this second application then. The Bible says we can develop different types of hearts. I suppose everybody believes that they have presently constructed a good and honest heart. But you do appreciate that in Luke chapter 8, where we refer to it as the parable of the soils, there were actually four kinds. And only one kind was called good and honest. That means the other three weren't. And simply because you believe you have a good and honest heart, evidence to the contrary may be the case, depending again on what you're allowing into it. The Hebrew writer cautions his audience to not be hard-hearted. And then he says in verse number 12, they should take heed lest there be in any of them an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Friends, I ask again, what's in your heart? Everybody assumes we have a good and honest heart. But let me ask you this. If everybody had a good and honest heart, would we be waking up to what we're waking up to? If everybody had a good and honest heart, the events that are happening wouldn't be happening. No, every heart is not good and honest. We might suggest this then. Since the heart is the soil, and what we put into it will germinate, and then it will grow and eventually blossom into action. It begs this question. What are you putting into your children's hearts? You know, when children come here, they don't really have the ability yet to turn the TV off. They don't have the ability to drive themselves around. They don't have the ability to determine what will be said and done in this house where they are now being reared. They don't have control over what's being put into their hearts. Other people are doing that. And so the Bible will demand I almost said urge, but no, it's probably much more demand that parents put God's word first in their hearts and then teach it diligently to their children. Deuteronomy 6, 7, beginning. These words which I speak must first be in your heart, and then thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. When you sit around your house, when you rise in the day, when you go in the way, when you come back home at night, what's going into the children's heart? You know, parents can try, but you can't get away from this responsibility. That child didn't come here yet with a heart already formed, already fashioned. No, somebody has got to plant some seed. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Everybody wants pretty flowers. Everybody wants a pretty garden. Nobody wants to cultivate the soil. Nobody wants to get their hands dirty. Nobody want to dig out the roots. Nobody want to plant good seeds. No, sir, no, ma'am. I just want a good product. It's almost as if some parents want to have children, then put them in an incubator and we just freeze them, cryogenically, of course, and we just freeze them. And then after 18 or so years, I'll go back to the deep freezer, open it up, and bam, there will be a well-functioning, capable, adult, spiritual young person who I can now be proud of and say, aren't they just wonderful? No, they don't get that way. No, somebody's got to be on site every day. Somebody's got to be making sure that the roots don't grow, that the weeds don't grow in there. Somebody's got to be in there planting good seeds. Somebody's got to be in there pouring water on it. Somebody's got to be allowing the sun, both of them, the sun and the sun, you understand what I'm saying, the sun to shine on it. Somebody's got to be there hands on every day. That is, if you even want a chance at producing a good and honest heart. No, parents are responsible and on the hook. God will hold them accountable for how they nurtured and brought up their children. Ephesians 6, 3 and 4. And ye fathers, provoke your children not to wrath, but, it's not a suggestion, but do this. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We can develop different types of hearts, and it is largely dependent upon what parents do to their children. The third application is this. There is great power in ideas. Jesus addresses the Pharisees because of the traditions of their fathers, to the neglect of the word of God. You're going to set aside God's word for your thoughts, your notions, your ideas. People ignore the power of ideas. And one of the sad things is, I know you've heard it, as soon as something happens, and friends, I submit to you this, just about doesn't matter what happens. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. If it makes the news and it's national news, there will be pundits. There will be people talking on television. Pick your network. And on your network of choice, there will be somebody explaining the events. But their explanations will always be consistent with their politic and their position. Doesn't matter what happens. Somebody on both sides will explain it. Now, what they will also do is completely ignore the power of the ideas and thoughts behind the positions that move these people to act. That will be completely ignored. In fact, it'll be broken down depending on what happens to ethnicity. One group being compared to another. And again, ignoring the power of ideas among any group. It's interesting. We listen in color. We don't just see in color, we listen in color. Our explanations and the way we receive information gets colorized. While we never consider the ideas, the thoughts, and the power of those thoughts. Let me explain what I mean. Take, if you will, four ethnic groups. Let's say African American, European, Hispanic, Asian. Let's say we have four groups. Which of these group, if any, if they teach and believe the following ideas would be good for the group. Here's a couple of the ideas. Drug use, legal and illegal, should be recreational. Promiscuity should be practiced among all who are willing as long as you're consenting. No one should feel guilt or shame about anything they do or say. Homosexuality should be practiced openly, even marriage, and encouraged. There was a time when homosexuality was said to be just like being black. I remember when it was said being black is just like being white. But homosexuality is never said to be just like being white. It's said to be just like being black. You remember homosexuality? A person can change their gender in the same day. Just because a doctor proclaimed you something doesn't mean you have to be that. You could wake up a male, go to bed a female. Totally up to you. A person can change their gender. Nothing is really right or wrong. There are no absolutes. Your life is meaningless. All life is meaningless. We are animals. We have no purpose. There is no God. There is no judgment. Abortion is a woman's choice. There is no human inside of her. It's not a baby. It's an appendage. Poor people deserve what comes to them for being lazy. Human life is not equal. Some ethnicities are better than others. Killing one life is not the same as taking the life of another person. Some lives have more value than others. Women are not the same as men. And she means yes when she says no. And boys will be boys. And if the elderly's quality of life should dip below our standards, we should mercifully kill them. You don't actually think. You're simply an instinctive animal. You shouldn't be held responsible for anything you do because you really didn't have a choice. It was simply your evolutionary condition. Religion is a crutch for the needy and weak and causes the problems in the world. And Christianity is the worst of all religions. The Bible is myth, made up stories to control the masses. No intelligent person believes it. Now you remember our four ethnic groups, don't you? African American, European, Hispanic, Asian. Which one of these groups would do well believing these ideas? Which one of these groups will thrive? Now, within each group, what person in each group would do well? Here's the amazing part. We chuck the ideas that drive the actions and we explain it in some ethereal, some political, some real position of outward, out there and them and they. And we completely dismiss the ideas that drive our actions. And then we expect from people who believe those ideas, we expect them to behave lovingly, kindly, compassionately, honoring other human beings, exercising self-control, demonstrate fairness, equity, mercy, and care for other human beings. I ask you this, which one of us is being foolish? There is power in ideas, which is why God is trying to reach the heart with his ways and his thinking. But we don't deal with that. We turn on the television and people start explaining on both sides. And it's always an explanation that never gets to the heart. The Bible is very clear. While we continue to ignore, what is in us will come out of us. For from within, out of the hearts of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile the man. God is very clear. It is from within. Jesus will tell us what the cause is. Jesus will also then provide the solution. And friends, there is absolutely a solution. I've never done that. Let me give you the solution. Solution is Jesus. You probably knew that. It's always Jesus. Friends, sometimes when we say the solution is Jesus, here's what happens. People even take Jesus and put him through a filter that bears no resemblance to the Bible. You need Jesus who has all authority. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth." You don't need a Jesus you don't have to listen to. You see, some people have a Jesus, but Jesus can't say nothing to them. They have a Jesus, they have listened to him. In fact, if you talk to those people about the Jesus who has all authority, they'll tell you, "Well, my Jesus don't talk like that." You don't need that Jesus. You need a Jesus who can tell you what to do, and you need to listen. You need a Jesus who judges. There are some people who say, "My Jesus don't judge." You need the Jesus of the Bible. John 12:48, Jesus said, "He that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spoke, the same shall judge him in the last day." You need that Jesus. You need a Jesus who makes commandments, not suggestions. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "I tell you it, nay, but except ye repent." You know the word repentance addresses our very sermon this morning. It is a change of heart. Jesus said, if you don't change your heart, you'll perish. You need that Jesus. You need a Jesus who saves. Luke 19:10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." But there are people telling you, you're not lost. There is no such thing as sin. You don't need that Jesus. You need a Jesus who is holy and demands that you be holy. 1 Peter 1:14-16, Hebrews 7:26, he is holy. You need a Jesus who leads the way to heaven, not one who allows you to go your own way and still arrive at heaven. You don't need that Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." If you are going some other way than Jesus, friends, you're going the wrong way. You need a Jesus who changes your hearts. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, it is exactly what Jesus offers. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Jesus is offering you a change of heart. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," Philippians 2:5, "who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." I don't know what you have been thinking and or feeling about the events that have marred and happened in our country. I don't know which one or any of these pundits you've been listening to by way of your explanations. I don't know what you have been saying on Facebook and what you've been contributing to the discussions out there. I don't know. What I do know is Jesus is right. And the issues are issues of the heart. And if people keep believing that there is no God, and if people keep believing that there is no judgment, and if people keep believing there is no morality, and if people keep believing that human life is not sacred, and if people keep believing there is no heaven and there is no hell, and if people keep believing that any religion will do, and that Jesus is just one of many options, and that nothing in the world ultimately matters, and that you're an animal and I'm an animal, and if people keep believing these ideas, then friends, you can expect that we will keep getting the exact same news. The only question is this: what's in your heart? Jesus invites you this morning to allow him to change it and change you. And friends, if you will take advantage of the Lord's opportunity, you will be a better person. Your community will be made better. The world will be a better place because you have gotten to Jesus. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. Change your heart, change your mind, change the direction of your life. Repent, Luke 13:3. Confess the name of Jesus. Give your allegiance to Jesus, Matthew 10:32-33. Not your Jesus. Jesus, the divine Son of God. Jesus, the Word made flesh. Give your life to him by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. He'll save you. He'll change you. He'll wash you. He'll clean you. He'll make you new. Friends, that'll change you and the world around us. If you are a Christian, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. May we reflect the glory of Jesus in the world around us to light men's way to our Savior. If you haven't done that, we beg you to come home to Him as we stand and as we sing.